Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love.
Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by that same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever enjoy your consolations. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. Oh, you alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. Oh, 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 you alone are my strength, my shield. To you spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. Well, praise God. Amen. Amen. How many of you love the Lord this morning? Amen. Amen. Haven't he been good to us? Amen. Praise God. Today I'm going to talk to you about the shift. And I'm not going to be before you long, but it took me back. I thought about my first car. My first car was a 1961 Ford Falcon. It was a slant six, and it had three on the column. Anybody know what three on the column mean? Well, for those of you that don't know what three on the column is, it was a standard shift, okay? It wasn't an automatic. Now, today we have cars you just drop in D and drive and go. But you had to know how to engage the clutch, and it was a task because you had to engage the clutch and put it in gear, and you had to go. And then at a certain point, you had to go to the next gear. And at a certain point, to the next gear. But my first solo voyage in that 61 Falcon, it was, I never will forget it. It was powder blue with blue and white tuck and roll interior. Oh, it was pretty. It was a pretty little car. You know, but my first solo voyage, it was roughly about a mile and a half or so. And it was to the neighborhood store. I was going to the store for my mother. This is my first trip to the store after getting a car. And I drove the entire way in first gear. Now, for those of you that don't know what a standard shift car is, I drove all the way in first gear. Now, mind you, first gear is just the gear that gets you going.
It's not the one you drive in. It's not like putting your car in D. It just gets you going. If you understand what I'm saying, it's like, then you shift. But I didn't know how to shift. I did not know how to shift. And all my friends in the neighborhood, they saw me in first gear. And they knew automatically that I did not know how to drive. I could guide it. I knew how to stay on my side of the street in my lane, but I didn't know how to shift gears. And the motor wound up so tight. And then I tried to attempt to shift gears and didn't know how to engage the clutch, and I was just grinding gears, and it was a mess. It was a mess. But I find that in our lives, we need to shift gears as well. Mm-hmm. Some of us are still in first gear. You know, I know some families that are just yet in first gear. I know some churches that are still in first gear. They can't shift to go to a higher gear. They can't really get from point A to point B because they're stuck in first gear. We're going to see how we can get out of first gear today. Is that all right? Amen. Amen. You know, like I was saying, you know, today we live in a time when everything is automatic. Everything is programmable stuff. Are you hearing me? When we need to look up an answer, we go to Google. My grandkids, they come help homework. I say, Google it. Go to Google, you know. Send them to Google. If I want a coupon, I go to Groupon. Mm-hmm. This is the age we live in. If we need to touch base with a friend, or even if we want to go on live, if we want to be on live on the internet, we go to Facebook. Am I right? Mm-hmm. This is the time we're living in. When we need directions, what do? We type that address into our GPS. Mm-hmm. We type it into the GPS. You know, and we have cars that actually brake by themselves now. We have cars that park themselves now. We have cars that help you stay in your lane. They have lane assist now, we have cars that talk to you. They actually talk. My car say, Pastor, may I help you today? My car have more respect than some other folk I know. That's all right. Amen, amen. But I want you to see that life is not automatic. Life is not always automatic. We have to be able to shift. We need to know when to shift up and when to shift down. We need to know when to go into reverse. We need to know when to go into neutral. We need to know this. We need to know how much spiritual gas we have within us as well. Sometimes as Christians, we run out of gas because we're doing too many things at one time. Have you ever been overloaded? Have you ever put more on your plate than you could actually handle? Mm-hmm. And you look at it as if this is what God have called me to do, but you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, you've overloaded your plate. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like being in fourth or fifth gear and you're moving right along at a high rate of speed, and you really don't have time to do everything because you're going too fast. You have to downshift at times to slow down enough to accomplish things sometime. You know, I frequently overload myself. And I realize that I can't do it all in a 24-hour period, but I have to be able to downshift and settle myself. Uh-huh. Engage that clutch. Uh-huh. See, to shift is nothing more than to change the way you think. See, we must change the way we think. See, we are to love the unlovable. This is a shift. It's difficult to love the unlovable. Mm-hmm. We are to love them with brotherly affection. We ought to outdo one another, showing one another honor as well. These are some of the things, some of the shifts we should implement in our lives. We ought to look not only on our own interests, but also on the interests of others. That's a shift. It's easy to be selfish and only be concerned about yourself.
But we need to be able to shift and be concerned for others as well. Mm-hmm. We need to be able to forgive the unforgivable. There's some rascals out there, it's hard to forgive. Am I right? Mm-hmm. But we need to be able to shift and forgive the unforgivable as well. I like 1 Timothy 5 and 20. It says that 5, 1 and 2, it says that do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father. These are some of the shifts we should do. You know, when I was coming up, we didn't call an older man by his first name. Come on. We didn't do that. We respected the older women as well. Mm-hmm. And the scripture tells us, it says, the younger men as brothers and older women as mothers and the younger women as sisters. And we should do this in all purity. This is a shift in our thinking as well. And it's nothing more than respect. See, we need to teach and we need to implement respect as well. You know, and if we don't teach it, if we can't shift, stop, change, it will continue on. And there will be more and more and more disrespect among our youth if they can't stop and respect us as to who we are as adults. See, that's a shift in your thinking. Amen? Today's scripture is taken, text is taken from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 13 through 22. And I'm going to read that. I've read out of every Bible but this Bible. I guess that's what I get for having four or five of them around me. Mm-hmm. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 13 through 22, and it reads, who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? That's a good question. Who will harm you if you're doing good? Feel like if you're doing good, everything should be all good. Am I right? Mm-hmm. But it doesn't always pan out that way. Let's read. But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have in Christ. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. Well, people will talk about your good behavior. I think sometimes it's just human behavior. But it happens. But the scripture is encouraging us, keep a clear conscience. See, because it is better if it is God's will to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ died for sins once for all, and the righteous for the unrighteous to bring you to God. And he was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, through whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through the water that now saves you also, not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. Our scripture texts speak of how Christ came and how we are to give a good report as to who we are in Christ and not be ashamed of who we are. And we should grab hold of what Christ have called us to do here in this world and in such a time as this. And our scripture text also made mention of Noah. Don't you know it required a real shift in thinking during Noah's time to even begin building an ark It hadn't rained. Can you imagine the ridicule that he went through? But yet he had to stand firm in what God had discussed with him and build that ark. Don't you know people said that he was out of his mind? Fool, it's not gonna rain. But yet it did. He stuck with it. We are to be steadfast and unmovable, just like Noah was. That is a shift in the way we think. And even Christ, when he was crucified, the Bible says that he never said a mumbling word. Now, if we suffered some of the things that Christ suffered on the cross, do you think we could just hold our tongue? If it was nothing more than a thief next to him that looked over at him and said, if you're the Christ, save yourself and me too. I could think of a lot of things I could have said to that guy while hanging there. But Christ never said a mumbling word. That is the thought process. That is the shift in our thinking that we need to tap into. We need to acquire. It's one thing about Christ I find is that his word was impeccable. He said what he meant, and he meant what he said. I want you to examine yourselves today. Is your word impeccable? If it isn't, you need to shift to whereas it is. You should be able to stand flat-footed and say what you mean and mean what you say, just like Christ. If we are Christians, we need to walk in that. Your word should be impeccable. People are going to talk. This talks about people, you doing good, but yet people still speaking harshly or talking about your good deeds. People are going to talk. So, but what do? You don't take it personal. Whenever we hear that so-and-so have said this or that about us, well, we take it personal, don't we? I've learned over the years that some things we should not just take personal. Because, believe it or not, that individual that is speaking that have more of an issue than you do. So why make it your issue? This is that shift in thinking I'm talking about. We need a shift in the way we think. We need a shift in it. Even how we meet, greet one another. Even how we behave in our own personal homes. We need to examine that, and it need to be a shift. We might just be in first gear struggling. You better hear me. That's some shifting I need to do. I examine myself. Well, what gear are you in, brother preacher? Well, I'm in second trying to get to third right now. And the reason I say that is because sometimes you have to slow down. You have to downshift. And then once you get past around a turn, over a hill or whatever the case, then you can go back up. You can shift up and you can continue on. But we've got to know when to shift. We've got to know when to downshift. We got to know when to engage the clutch. We've got to know these things. And it's simple things that can be implemented in our lives as well. But Christ, again, I say that he really, even when Christ would tell his disciples he would do something, like when the storm came and they went to the bottom of the boat and they woke him up and they said, Rabbi, the storm, if you don't wake, the storm is upon us. And if you don't do something, we all will perish. And Jesus got up from the bottom of the boat and he went and he looked and he says, oh, ye of little faith, how long am I to do this, be with you? And he spoke to the wind. He simply said, peace, be still. How many storms in our life do we speak to? We have that authority. We need to be able to speak to that storm. Peace, be still. This is the shift in thinking that I'm talking about. We need to know who we are in Christ. Isn't it amazing? We have all of these spiritual qualities, but yet have not tapped into it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. In the beginning. Well, he took the dust from the ground and he formed us. He blew the breath of life, his essence, his spirit within us. Come on. So if he did that to us and we became living souls and he spoke the worlds into existence, that means that we as well should be able to speak some things into existence. You know, I still hear testimonies of grown men who are suffering from the fact that their mom said, "You're just like your no good daddy." And you better believe, out of ignorance, the mother is speaking that into existence. We need to be careful what proceed from our mouths. Shifting our thinking. We need to think before we speak. Don't need you to show your hands, but do you think before you speak? Or do you just rattle off the first thing that come to mind? Our speech should be seasoned with salt. It should be seasoned, well seasoned. We should edify. We should uplift. We should encourage. And if you're not doing that, you need a shift in the way you think. You need to shift. You need to redo things. You need to examine self. Again, these are things God have already given us. We just need to dig in and get the nuggets. I watched the guys that have gold mines. The gold just didn't gonna jump on the table. The gold just didn't gonna jump on the scale. And they're just because they own this piece of property, this land, the gold just didn't gonna jump in their pockets. There is some work that need to be performed. They got to work for it. They got to dig for it. If you want this gold, you got to dig for it. Got to do some work. You got to do some digging. Mm-hmm. Even in your car, you might drive it 3,000 miles, a light will come on. Now, do you just continue to drive it? You just keep driving and driving, and this light is an oil can light on, and you just keep driving? Or what do you do? What do you do? You change your oil, don't you? Come on, another thing is if this fuel pump is red, it doesn't lit up, and this needle is over here by the E, what do? You keep driving? You know, I've met people that say, "Well, God is going to get me there." The red light is already on and the needle is on E, but they still want to tempt God. Why play with God? But I've met some like that. God will get me there. But it's time to do something. Nobody know like you know where you are. Whether you need a change of oil, whether you need a refueling. We know we come here to refuel. We come here to get the substance we need to go a little farther. In midweek, we can come back. We can come back to the filling station and fill up a little more midweek. Oh, we can get a little more midweek. Am I making sense this morning? Mm-hmm. See, because we really need to understand why we do this. If we're not implementing these principles that's laid out before us, we're just kind of just going through the motions. How many people do you truly love? How many people have you said you truly forgive, but yet you're holding on? I forgive you, but I don't forget. I never will forget what you did to me, but I forgive you. Is that real forgiveness? Every time you see them, every time things don't go your way, I never will forget what you did to me. Boy, I tickle myself sometimes. I need a good laugh. My God. Red Sea. Children of Israel came up against the Red Sea.
And all they could see was water. That was before Moses took his staff and the water split. But can you imagine what they felt or what they thought when they came up against this obstacle of the Red Sea? All they could see was the sea. How are we going to get? And Pharaoh and his army is behind us. They really needed a change and a shift in their thinking. But Moses stood on a rock because he gave the people encouragement to cross. And the waters parted and they crossed on dry land over the Red Sea. I tell you, when they got to the other side, they should have had a change of heart and a change of thought. But you know, those rascals were still saying, "He brought me out of Egypt to kill me. We were safer in Egypt." They saw miracle signs and wonder. Fed manna by morning. And they murmured and complained. And he sent meat. Had an abundance of meat. They complained of thirst. Smoked the rock. Quenched their thirst. And they still said they were better off in slavery in Egypt. Never acquired a shift in their thinking. They always look back. It's like driving down the freeway at 60 miles an hour in reverse. Suppose that was the way we got from point A to point B. 60 miles an hour in reverse. Now, there are some stunt drivers that can do it, but I wouldn't trust the average Joe driving 60 miles an hour down the freeway backwards. You know, plus it would be a strain on your neck. Even if you had the backup deal, the camera stuff, you know, my kids say, "Papa, why you still look back? You got a camera right here." And I say, "Well, I was brought up the old way. I need to see. I got blind sides. I need to see what's back there. Yeah, this camera is showing me something, but I still look back." So, but we're not designed to live back here. We cannot make any forward progress if we're constantly behind us. If we constantly in the rears or in the reverse. Reverse is a temporary thing. Reverse isn't constant. Reverse is temporary. We use it to reposition. Sometimes we need to back up to reposition to go in another direction. Reverse is temporary. We should not stay in reverse. But it is amazing, because of a lack of a shift in thinking, how we lock in to what's happened yesteryear, what happened yesterday, those abuses, things we have no power over, it yet have power over us because we're constantly looking back. We need to get focused on what's ahead. What's going on right now? Today is our present. Tomorrow is our future. But yesterday is gone. A shift in thinking. A real shift in thinking. So my question to you is, are you moving forward and making progress in your Christian life? In your Christian work? Are you? Or are you just spinning your wheels? Are your habits pulling you away from the Lord and weakening your Christian life? Sometimes a habit can do that. And if a habit is doing that, we need a shift in our thinking regarding that habit. You know, we need to hit the brakes. We need to stop right now. You know, we need to shift gears in life. We need to get past that habit. I like the book of Romans. I want to read it from this Bible. Romans chapter 12. This truly tells us where we really, really need to shift. Romans 12:2. You take it here. This will bless you. And it said, Romans 12:2. God have given you and you alone. You know, I had the pleasure of working with Varner's last Tuesday over at Metro Church. We fed the people at Revive Texas, and I really had an opportunity firsthand to see what they deal with. And serving food and serving people isn't an easy task at all. It's not. You know, and I walked in their shoes for an hour or two. You know, but what I find is they are gifted and anointed to do what they do. And they do it weekly. Without complaining, without bickering. I got here today about a quarter till eight. I drove up, no one was on the parking lot. And the next person to show was Roe. And then Mother Varner pulls up. And this happened every week. And a lot of Sundays, they're the last people to leave. First to get here and last to leave. Through both services, Billy. You know, and I don't know if anyone else could actually wear those shoes and stand in them and perform like they do. Yes, I'm sending you flowers right now because I feel you deserve them. You know, and the shift in the way people think is to appreciate you. When they go between services, there is some coffee made. There is a donut there. If it's nothing more than looking at you and say, I love you, I appreciate you, we should be able to give you these flowers right now. You know, this is a shift in our thinking. Just don't take for granted. And if the coffee's not there, well, where is the coffee? That coffee ain't made yet.
There's no cups out here. No, I like that French vanilla creamer. There's no French vanilla creamer.
I'm going to still love you. Amen. Praise God. But it is what it is. It really is. God wants us to change some things. He wants us to change the way we operate among one another. He do. You know, don't look for the easy way to live life. Don't look for it. You know, it's real easy to show up here at church service, and go back home and pay your tithes. That's a good thing. You know, your offerings and, you know, do a few things within the church. But how many people outside these walls have you said anything to about Jesus? Just, if it's nothing more than just a simple God bless you. And if you haven't looked at someone and simply said God bless you, something's wrong. Remember, we read a scripture here that talked about how we are all part of the body. We're an extension of one another, and we all have different gifts. But we are part of the body of Christ. What's wrong with speaking a blessing upon someone? Just simply saying, God bless you. You have the power of your tongue to do so. Oh, are you hearing me? God bless you, Al. Amen. You have the power of your tongue to speak that blessing upon people. God bless you. Bless you. I speak it right now. God bless each and every one of you that made it out today in the rain. God bless you. Because I believe if I speak that, you'll be blessed. Because my Father, which art in heaven, spoke the worlds into existence. And he's my Father, whereby I cry, Abba, Father. You better hear me today. So I not speak curses, but I speak blessings upon each and every one. Because my Father in heaven has given me the right to do so. And that's why I speak the shifting thing. Who did he think he is? I am a man of God. I'm not boasting at it. I know my call. I know the gifts he's given me with it. He praying for folk, but his britches hitting him about right here. His pants down here. You can see his boxes sticking out of his back, but he has to. I didn't condemn him, I just said, hey, brother, can I help you? Well, I give you a little help, brother. I got a piece of string in my car. I'm gonna help you tie the britches up on the side, you know, and I'm gonna stand and pray with you. Yeah, we can do this together, but you gotta get them pants up. Doc, yeah, those pants got to come up. Yeah, how can we represent like that? Well, I'm trying to reach this crowd. I want to reach that crowd. I want to do this. But, man, come on. Come on, Doc. Come on. Have a little. Let me leave him alone. Yeah, but these are some of the things we deal with, a shift in my thinking as well. See, continue. It's a continuous thing. Continuous thing. I yelled at my grandbabies the other day. I had to stop and think about why I yelled at them. They were only doing what children do. I was reading a book, and they want to play tag around my chair. Do you see me reading? And then it came to me. It shifted my thinking. Wow, they're only kids. Yeah. They're only doing what they do. This is what kids do, and I'm yelling at them. I threatened to put the belt on them because they were playing. I was wrong. Let kid be kid, but they need to respect what I do as well. I needed to tell them that. Shift in my thinking. You know, shift. So many things we need to shift in. A shift in our thinking is this. We need to pay tithes and offering. You know, it's as if the enemy make it to a point to where it seems like it's just not enough money to go around sometimes. You better hear me. And this ain't, I didn't write that down. I'm just going to share this one with you. But the sacrifice need to be made. And that requires, regardless of how little on paper, that requires a shift in thinking. Make that sacrifice regardless. And by the way, I said all I wanted to do was do a push-up. I've been able to get that push-up, too, for those of you who know what I'm talking about. Amen, amen. But with all that being said, I just want to say, in closing, if we don't shift, we'll be stuck in a gear, whereas we're making no progress. And in this Christian journey, we're here to make progress. I believe each and every one of us have been assigned a few to reach, young and old alike. Mm-hmm. Someone is going to be impressed. Someone is going to just admire, adore your Christian walk. Someone that's watching you will want what you got. Mm-hmm. And you need to be able to discern that. And you need to be able to give them what you got. And all you have is Jesus. That's it. All you have is Jesus. You know? So be more attentive to what's going on around you. Examine yourself as to how you respond to people, as how you respond to the world news. I was in a room full of folk the other day, and the president came on, and everybody just began to badmouth the president. I said, well, I can't speak against him because I feel like if I speak that up on him, it'll happen. So I don't speak death or tragedy up on anyone. I don't want nobody to die. I didn't understand it because I wasn't part of that lynch mob. Are you hearing me? It was a real lynch mob. It's not my place to speak death upon anyone. You know? I speak Christ. That's who I speak. I speak life, abundant life, peace, joy, all the fruits of the Spirit. And in closing, if you haven't seen the fruits of this budding in your home or in your life like they ought to be, like these huge grapes of fruit, come on. I just need you to shift in your way of thinking. I need you to shift gears and get a little closer to the Lord. Amen? Amen. God bless you.